Tonight and go to 2 Peter chapter 2. Second Peter chapter 2, we're going to read verses 1 through 3. So 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. The Bible says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, but by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not." And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we ask that you would bless our time together tonight. Father, I ask that you would guide us through the scriptures. Pray, Lord, that our hearts would be drawn unto you, that you give us, Lord, ears to hear, a heart to receive the truth of your word. Lord, guide us according to your will. Father, I pray that you would help us to apply the scriptures to our life. Thank you, Father, for the day that you brought us through. Thank you, Father, for an opportunity to be gathered together in the Lord's house tonight. Father, we ask that Christ be lifted up. We ask that you would be glorified. And Father, we will walk away knowing we have been in the presence of the Lord, that you've spoken to our hearts. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so in 2 Peter chapter 2, in these first three verses, Peter kind of warns the church, warns the believers that he's writing to, the same thing that Jesus warned them about, and that being false teachers or false prophets in this day, in the day they were living, but also just throughout the church age, that there would always be false teachers that would rise up, false prophets that would rise up. He says in verse number 1, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you." Again, sometimes when we think about false teachers and false prophets, we automatically just think of, okay, those that teach scripture wrongly, those that are leading people astray spiritually. But tonight I want us to think about the fact and the truth that false teachers are not just those that lead people astray spiritually, but also those that speak truth to lead people astray just in their life. Because, again, we have an adversary that is always looking to draw God's people away, always looking to get God's people off track, wanting to cause problems in the lives of God's people and to get people to stop trusting the Lord, to start relying upon their own wisdom. And we're going to look at some things tonight, but again, tonight it's a warning. It's also a reminder that even Jesus spoke about this, and we'll get to that in a minute. But Jesus talked about false teachers as well, to be aware of them. Again, don't think that false teachers are simply those that are speaking wrongly about Scripture, but a false teacher is anybody who is going to lie and lead people astray, and especially when it comes to following the Lord and comes to living our life according to Scripture. So Peter mentions false teachers, and obviously false teachers have false teachings. The Bible also calls them deceivers who will deceive and be deceived. Go to Romans chapter 16 as we start. Romans chapter 16, because we're living in a day and age, we're living in a time where you cannot believe everything that you hear. And sometimes things that we hear sounds good, but we've got to always remember that God's given us of the Holy Spirit to guide us and to lead us. God's given us the ability to pray, to seek wisdom, to seek guidance. And again, not just in the spiritual realm, but also in the human realm, the earthly realm, in worldly affairs, God's given us of the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us. So let's never neglect the Holy Spirit that we've been given. Holy Spirit's not just been given to us to guide us and direct us through the Scriptures, but also in our life as we live in this sin-cursed world. God does not want us to be deceived. He does not want us to be led astray. He wants us every day to rely upon his wisdom, to rely upon his direction, and to seek him for everything in our life. Again, we do live in a world, and I've said it before, I'll keep saying it, that's anti-Christ. The world leaders are anti-Christ. There are a few Christians, but again, most everybody that is in some leadership position in this world is corrupt in some way. So we as God's people have to make sure that we are following the Lord and getting our direction from the Lord. So look at Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16, verse 17 and 18. Romans chapter 16, verse 17 and 18. Again, the Bible warns us of false teachers, and I believe it's not just spiritual false teachers, but any person that would lead God's people astray from following the Lord and letting God be our guide. He's given us of his Holy Spirit to be our guide and comforter. But as far as false teachers, false teachings, Romans chapter 16, verse 17 and 18, Paul warns the believers at Rome. He says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." Now Paul warns the believers to be careful of those that will deceive the simple. Those that I would say are not grounded. They are Christians, but they're not grounded in the word and can easily be led astray. But notice what he says, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which we have learned, and avoid them. So again, as we live in this world and we have leaders in this world, leaders even in this country, we've got to make sure that we don't put our confidence, as the Bible says, in princes of this world. Because anybody who's not a follower of Jesus Christ is not someone you really want to follow too closely. Now, again, there are those that they're wise as far as in the things that they may know that they've learned in this world. But again, I want us to be aware and to be warned and to be reminded that if someone is not a child of God, they don't need to be followed too closely by the children of God. Now, a false teacher, I mean, one example comes to my mind. I believe it was the New York governor recently made a statement that she said, and I don't remember word for word, but she said, she used these words saying, as she spoke, I don't even know who she was speaking to, if she was speaking to a church congregation or what, but my wife showed it to me, and she made the statement that she said, God would want you to get the vaccine. Now, that is completely, that's personal. That's a personal choice if you want to get the vaccine or not. But when you bring God into it, then there's a problem because you don't know the mind of God. Scripture is the word of God. Scripture guides us. Scripture directs us. But when you start saying God would want you to do this, you're stepping on thin ice. You're walking on thin ice because nobody can speak for God. All right? So a false teacher will try to tell you, oh, this is what God will want you to do. Does it match up with Scripture? Because God will never contradict his word. So again, we got to be careful about false teachers and those that we follow too closely that are not born-again believers. We are to follow what is true and what is right and follow even those that will lead us into doing what we know is biblically correct, all right? So again, look at Matthew chapter 7 as you look at the words of Christ. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Again, there's a lot of And I kind of hesitate on bringing up some of the subjects, and I've asked the Lord to guide me and direct me according to his will, because, again, I don't want to get political and all that on you. But, again, there are things in this life that are a personal choice, okay? And there are things that are completely against Scripture, completely against what God says, all right? And one, abortion is completely against God because God's the giver of life, okay? Now, again, I don't know who has and who hasn't had abortions, but if anybody in the sound of my voice had an abortion, listen, God is merciful and gracious and forgiving. But God is still the giver of life, okay? God's still the giver of life. The Bible teaches us it's wrong to take life, okay? Even though the world and even though those in prominent positions in our country may say it's a choice that goes against God, okay? So we know that is wrong. We know that's a false teaching, okay? Because God will never contradict himself. In Matthew chapter 7, look at verse 15 through 20. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 through 20. Jesus says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing. But inwardly they are ravening wolves. They seem harmless. They seem like they're for you and on your side. But Jesus says, on the inside, they're truly wolves. They're truly wolves who've come to devour you. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but every corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." Again, you just using the New York mayor as an example. She made the statement, you know, that God would want you to do this. Knowing the woman's background, she has absolutely no fruit of being a born-again, Bible-believing Christian, so I would not even take what she says as truth, okay? Jesus warns us of false prophets, those that will lead us astray, even in the name of Jesus, even using God as a cloak. Now, I bring this up tonight because, again, we are living in the last days. We're living in the days that the Bible talks about, a great falling away, those that fall away from the truth, okay? But we'll even get to the scripture in a minute where I believe it's Paul that says that they went out from among us, but they were not of us, because had they been of us, they would have remained with us, okay? He's talking about those that really were not born-again believers. They just kind of joined in the church, and they enjoyed the festivities, they enjoy the things that were going on, but then when it came right down to it, where the rubber meets the road, they left because they couldn't handle the truth, they couldn't handle the convictions of God's word, all right? So again, we're warned in Scripture by Jesus, by the apostles, about deceivers that will deceive, false teachers that will teach false lies to draw people away from the Lord, to draw people after themselves, and it's all to destroy their lives. Now, as we think about false teachers and how we are to combat false teachers and to stay on the straight and narrow, to be guided by truth, to be guided by the light of Christ, there's three things I want us to be reminded of so that we are not fooled, and that's the title of the message tonight, Don't Be Fooled. And one is to seek wisdom, always to seek God's wisdom. Because we live in a world and in a society where there are false teachers all around us, and we have to make sure that we always follow the Lord, seek the Lord, pray for God's guidance so that we're not led astray spiritually or in any other area of our life. Look at James chapter 1 in regards to wisdom, seeking God for wisdom. James chapter 1, and look at verse number 5. Bible says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. God says if any of us lack wisdom, if we need wisdom about a situation, about a decision that we need to make, we are to seek him. We're to ask him for wisdom. Because we don't know everything and we can't see everything, but God knows what's good for us and what's not good for us. God knows what will harm us and what will not harm us. God knows the future. God knows tomorrow. So we are to seek God's wisdom and not just trust every single person that says they are an expert in their field. I've told you this before, but we had several children that had to have kidney surgeries when they were younger. And we had a surgeon that operated on all of them. He was the best in his field. We researched him, and he was the best in his field, and he was the only one available in Wisconsin. Everybody went to him, but I still prayed, Lord, guide his hands because he's just a man. He can make a mistake, and I don't want him making a mistake on any of my children. And I remember even praying with him one time before one of our surgeries. It might have been after his surgery. But just thanking the Lord for helping him to learn what he knows. And thanking the Lord for even helping the man to go through all the school and to be the best in his field, that he could only have done it by you, Lord. And he thanked me for the prayer because, you know, it's true. No one can do anything without God allowing them and helping them too, whether they're saved or not. God gives the ability to learn things. But as God's people, we cannot, and don't be offended, but we cannot be so naive that we just trust everybody that says, I'm an expert, trust me. You need wisdom from God. I need wisdom from God so that I'm not led astray, so I don't make the wrong decisions in life. Again, remember, Jesus said, the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. And the thief comes in different costumes. He comes to you and me in different ways, and we need God's wisdom to help us to know what's right and what's a lie, all right? So again, James 1, verse 5 tells us, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And let me remind you, Hebrews 11, 6 says that, you know what, if you come to God and believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, he'll bless you. He'll give you the wisdom you need. All right, if you truly believe that he will give you the wisdom, the discernment, and the insight that you need. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 7, in regards to wisdom. And we need wisdom in our day and age because, again, there are deceivers that deceive. There are those that want to proclaim that they're even speaking on behalf of God that are not. Again, a false prophet or a false teacher will not lead you according to Scripture. There might be a little bit of truth in what they say, but if it's not the whole truth, it's a lie, okay? There's no such thing as some people want to say a white lie. A lie is a lie. God does not give the okay to tell white lies. A lie is a lie, and lies are an abomination to the Lord. God does not give mercy to a false prophet. You read in the Old Testament, I didn't write this down, but in the Old Testament, God said that a prophet that even prophesies one prophecy that does not come to pass is a false prophet and is to be killed, okay? Because when God speaks through his prophet, through his men, they speak the truth. Again, when you go through Jeremiah and you go through all the prophets, they all say, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord, okay? So Proverbs chapter 3, look at verses 5 through 7, okay? We ask God for wisdom because we need it, and in Proverbs 3, look at verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. So God wants us not to be wise in our own eyes. Again, like I said, we'll even get to the Holy Spirit in a minute, but again, when the Bible speaks about false teachers, it's not just false teachers that are speaking theological half-truths. It's not just false teachers that are trying to deceive people spiritually, but it's also men and women in this world that want to deceive people in controlling them. Because the devil is all about control. If you've forgotten, there was a day when you were sold under sin, and I was sold under sin, and we were in the chains and bondage of sin, but Jesus Christ broke those chains. He redeemed us. He bought us. We belong to the Lord, but the devil still wants us back. He still wants us under his thumb. And however he can do it, he'll try to do it. But again, we have victory in Jesus Christ. There's nothing to fear, but we still need to be sober. We need to be vigilant that our adversary is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. And God wants us to have wisdom, and that wisdom that comes from God will always lead us according to God's way and not man's way. Again, the Bible says, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. We must always rely upon God for every decision we make in life. Before we make a decision, we must, as God's people, truly rely upon God. We must truly rely upon God. Look at Proverbs chapter 9, verse 4 through 6. I'm afraid that some Christians, I'm not saying anybody in here, but I'm afraid some Christians, because I know of some Christians, who think God is just at church. You go to church to meet with God, and that's where God stays. And when I walk out the church doors, then I live my life until Sunday or Wednesday when I come back to meet with God. But we know that's not the true relationship. That person doesn't have a real relationship who has that mindset, because God is with us because he's given us of his Holy Spirit. And God is always with us, always guiding us and directing us. And we'll get to it, but Jesus even said the Holy Spirit would be given to us to be a comforter and a guide. Not just spiritually guiding us, but guiding us through our life every moment, every day, every week, every month, every year. In Proverbs chapter 9, look at verses 4 through 6. Proverbs chapter 9, verses 4 through 6, in regards to wisdom, the Bible says, whoso is simple, let him turn it hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, if you were to back up to verse 9, you know she is referring to wisdom. Verse 1, wisdom hath builded her house, she hath hewn out her seven pillars. All right, you get down to verse 4. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, come, eat of my bread, drink of the wine which I've mingled. Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. All right? God wants us to have, again, true, pure wisdom. Not the wisdom of man. The wisdom of man is foolish according to God. All right? And again, it would be foolish for us just to follow every single thing a man, a human, says. And they say that they are an expert. God is the expert in all things. God is ultimate wisdom, and we as God's people need to rely upon God's wisdom. Not just for spiritual things, but for everyday life, we need to trust in God's wisdom. And when we ask God for wisdom, and there's not a single person that doesn't need wisdom, I need God's wisdom every day. Not just for my family's sake, my marriage's sake, my job's sake, but for the pastorate's sake, for the church's sake, I need God's wisdom. And when we ask for God's wisdom will open our eyes to the truth and help us to see what is true. Take your Bibles and go to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6, I want to read verses 8 through 17 because a man's eyes were opened so he could see the truth. And his eyes was opened after someone prayed that they would be opened. 2 Kings chapter 6, look at verse 8 through 17. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, And he called his servants and sent unto them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? Now, obviously, the king of Syria thought he had somebody, had a spy in his camp. He thought someone was telling the king of Israel all his secrets. But there was a man, but he wasn't in his camp. But it was a man of God. And verse 12, one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha. Elisha the prophet that is in Israel telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God, when Elisha's servant, was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? So again, I mean, obviously this servant of Elisha gets up early, goes out, he sees the host of the Assyrian army surrounding the city. He's afraid and he goes and asks Elisha, basically, what are we going to do? We're surrounded. Verse 16, and he, Elisha, answered, fear not, for they be with us, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. So Elisha, speaking truth, says, hey, there's more with us than them. But again, when the servant of Elisha is standing there, okay, it's Elisha, it's the servant, he's looking, how in the world can there be more with us than them, because there's only two of us. You notice verse 17, and Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Now, that's God's army. Now, yes, the Syrian army outnumbered Elisha and the servant. No doubt, looking through human eyes, you see a host of an enemy army surrounding you. You're like, man, there's no way out. We're doomed. But Elisha, who is a prophet of God, Elisha, who's a follower of God, Elisha, who believes and trusts in the Lord God of heaven, ask God to open the eyes, the spiritual eyes of the servant, so he can see spiritually that there is more with them than with the Syrian army. And he saw the heavenly host. He saw God's army surrounding the Syrian army. And that is what we need. We have to pray for wisdom. God, open my eyes and help me to see the truth. Lord, help me not to be led astray. Help me, Lord, not to make the wrong decisions. Lord, help me to follow your wisdom. Give me spiritual eyes so I can see the decision that I need to make. And prayer is the second thing I want us to think about that we need in order not to be fooled by this world. We need God's wisdom, and we need to stay in prayer. Look at Psalm 91. Psalm 91. Prayer is very important, but prayer is something that is often neglected by God's people. Again, I'm not necessarily saying anybody in here. I'm just in general by God's people. It is neglected in the fact that sometimes we get to a place where we don't pray about every single thing because we're looking at a decision, we're looking at a situation, we're like, oh, I know exactly what to do, but we still need God's wisdom. God does not want us to rely upon our own wisdom. He wants us to rely upon his wisdom and prayer as well. So prayer being very important so that we're not fooled. Psalm 91, verse 15 and 16. The Bible says, he shall call upon me and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. God promises that if we call upon him, he will answer us. Go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. I often in my mind revert back when I think about verses like this and I think about praying and asking God for wisdom and direction. My mind often drifts back to the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve had the perfect place, the perfect environment. There was absolutely no sin before they ate of the forbidden fruit. But they were tempted. Eve was tempted. When the devil, when you read in Genesis, the devil comes to her and says, "Yea, hath God said." Got her thinking about what God said. And the devil always does that. He gets us to think about what God said. And, well, did God really mean that? Maybe God meant something different. And the longer she stared at the fruit, the longer she looked at it and desired it and saw, well, it's something that's good for food. Well, God had already given them all the other trees, all the other fruit, all the other herbs to be able to eat for food. But when she looked at it and saw it was good for food and to make one wise, she took of it and ate and gave to her husband who was with her. So both of them were deceived. Both of them rebelled against God because they thought it was okay because after all, well, what's in the harm of something that looks good for food? And you know what? God said it was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So, I mean, it would make me wise to know, you know, wouldn't God want me to know what's good and what's not good? Well, that's God's place. God's place was to tell them what was good and what was not good, and he told them one tree that was not good. See, the problem is sometimes we as people, we make decisions based on what we think is right instead of what God says, instead of seeking God's wisdom through prayer. And he's given us prayer to be able to come boldly before the throne of grace and ask for help in time of need. But in Philippians chapter 4, look at verse number 6. The Bible says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Notice those three words, in everything. In everything. Not just spiritual things, but earthly things as well, because we're living a life on this earth. We're to be walking by faith, not by sight. We are to be walking in wisdom, in God's wisdom, and we're to be seeking that wisdom daily in prayer, praying for everything. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, because God does not want us to be deceived. He does not want us to be led astray. Look at Jude. Go to Jude. Jude is right before Revelation. So Jude verse 20. Jude verse 20 and 21. So Jude verse 20 and 21. "But ye beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." God wants us to pray in the Holy Spirit, all right? "Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." Again, the next thing we're going to be talking about is, well, this is prayer, talking about prayer. We're going to talk about following in just a second. But again, prayer, we're to pray in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will guide us according to what we ought to pray. The Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts. The Holy Spirit will help us, as the Bible says, looking for, keeping yourselves in the love of God. Again, if we stop loving God, we'll stop praying, we'll stop seeking his wisdom, we'll stop following. All right. Well, how do I stop loving God? When I start loving my opinion more than God's word. When I stop following God's leading and stop looking to God and stop trusting God, but rely more on what I think, then I've fallen out of love with God because I'm more concerned about what I think is right instead of what God says is right. Again, we're warned in Scripture about false teachers. Again, false teachers speak lies that will lead people astray. The devil was the first one, again, in the garden, questioning God's word. God's word is exactly what the Christian needs. It is the lamp unto our feet, the light unto our path. It guides us. It shows us what's true. It shows us what's false. And as God's people, we have to hold up God's word higher than our necessary food. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said that we ought to hold God's word up higher than our necessary food. God's word is what's going to lead us. God's word is truly the lamp that we need. It gives us the wisdom that we need. It helps us to stay on the straight and narrow path. It helps us to stay close to the Lord. It helps us to make right decisions based on God's leading. I want you to look at John chapter 15. So we need God's wisdom. We need to stay in prayer. But while we're praying and seeking God's wisdom, we have to follow God's direction. We have to follow God's direction. We always have to lean to God and default to God, I should say. Always default to God. If you are, remember, God's not the author of confusion. So if you're ever confused about something, default to God that God's always right. Because God's always right. God's not a man that he should lie. He's not going to lead you astray. And he's not the author of confusion. The devil is. The devil wants you to be confused. All right? The devil wants you to be confused about what God means and what God wants you to do. But God's very clear in his word what he wants us to do and what will help us. He's very clear in warning us about false teachers, about the thief, about our adversary as a roaring lion. We have to follow Christ. Notice what Jesus says in John 15, verse 18 and 19. Jesus says, "If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." The world that we live in will never love us for who we are. God's children. Now, praise the Lord, God has watched over his people throughout the centuries. God has protected his people. God has benefited his people. We've had blessings in this world. But remember, the world as a whole is against Christ. Therefore, those that speak in this world who are not born again believers should not be closely followed or trusted on what they say, regardless of their occupation. We as God's people always have to default to God. God is true. God is right. Lord, what would you have me to do? And I'm not talking about following the speed limit. I'm talking about a world that wants to start dictating how you live your life. God has given us his word on how to live our life. God has shown us as God's people who we're to follow, and that is to follow Jesus Christ. Again, let me remind you in Acts, I believe it's Acts chapter 4, where Peter and John are before a religious council being questioned for healing a man, which the man was healed by Jesus Christ because he believed on the name of Jesus Christ, and he rose up and was walking and leaping and praising God, but they were questioned. And then they were told, don't speak or teach in that name. Do whatever you want, but do not name the name of Christ. And Peter said, judge between us, whether it's right to obey God or obey man. And later on, he's going to say, we ought to obey God rather than man. Okay? God is the one that we follow. Jesus said that we are to follow him. He is the one that we are to follow. He is our Savior. He'll never lead us astray. But remember, the world hates you. You cannot believe everything that you hear in this world, but you can believe everything in your Bible. You can believe everything that God says, and God's given us of the Holy Spirit to lead us in this world. Look at John 14. Back up maybe a page. John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17. And I am so thankful that God did not leave us for us to wander in the darkness, not knowing what to do as his people. But he's given us the lamp and light, his word. He's given us of the Holy Spirit to guide us as well. Notice what Jesus says in John 14 and verse 16 and 17. Jesus says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter," being the Holy Spirit, "that he may abide with you forever." Verse 17, "even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." Again, the Holy Spirit of God's been given to us, not only to comfort us, but to guide us as well. Look at John 16 and verse 13. John 16, verse 13, Jesus still speaking about the Holy Spirit. He says in John 16, 13, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you in all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." Now listen, the Holy Spirit will speak truth because he is truth. He'll only guide by the word of God, which is truth. Remember, Jesus prayed in John 17:17, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. The Holy Spirit of God, the sword of the Spirit, is the word of God. The Holy Spirit's been given to us to guide us and to lead us. Again, not just in spiritual things. Praise the Lord, he does guide us in spiritual things, but he can also tell us when something's wrong. I can't tell you how many times I just felt like something was not right with a person. And it baffled me that a church leader could not see something was wrong. And my wife and I, we just couldn't understand it. I mean, we just saw things. I mean, we didn't know the man's background, but we just knew something was not right. And it came out later, several months later, that he was a pedophile in the church. And it just baffled me that nobody else could see it. And nobody would listen to what I said. I'm saying is the Holy Spirit gives you insight. You may not understand. You may not can see, you know, it looks fine. They look okay. But the Holy Spirit witnesses with your spirit. The Holy Spirit tells you. The Holy Spirit guides you. The Holy Spirit protects you. So don't neglect the Holy Spirit that God's given you. The Holy Spirit's been given to comfort us, yes, but to guide us so that we're not led astray, so we don't believe a lie, so we don't go away from the Lord, and he uses the word of God. Look at 1 John chapter 2. So we need God's wisdom. We need to stay in prayer, praying and asking God for his wisdom in everything, because we know there are deceivers who will deceive. We know there are false teachers who will pretend like they're speaking for God, who are not speaking for God. And we need the Holy Spirit to guide us. But again, we have to be in the Bible. We have to be in prayer, seeking God's wisdom and direction. 1 John chapter 2, look at verse 15 and 16. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Again, we're warned, don't love this world. Now, again, God blesses us with things in this world. He's given us possessions in this world, but the world is not to have our affection. We're not to follow the ways of the world. Remember, Jesus said that he called us out of the world. He took us out of the world, all right? We're still in the world, but he's taken us out of the world spiritually. We are his children, and we are to be living for the Lord, not for the world. We're to be following the Lord and not man. Look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And while I'm thinking about this, I mean, I don't know, I didn't see it a second ago. I had this written down. Romans chapter 12. Just so we remember how important prayer is, the word pray, or praying, or prayer, or prayed. Those four forms of pray, okay, praying to God, is 512 times in Scripture. It's found 512 times in Scripture, praying. That lets us know that it's very important to God, that we pray and seek him. Again, it's not just for church service. It's not just for, you know, special occasions. And I know you know this, but just reminding us that prayer is what God's given us to be able to ward off the devil, to be able to defend ourselves along with the shield of faith. Again, if you and I lay down that shield of faith that we've been given, then we stop believing in prayer. We stop believing in God's guidance. We stop believing in God's wisdom, because the shield of faith has been given so that we can quench all the fiery darts of the devil. Nope, God is still real. Nope, God still hears prayers. Nope, I'm on the winning side. Nope, God is a God that tells the truth. God is a God of light. He's a God of righteousness, faithfulness, holiness. Again, don't let the shield of faith be lowered. Keep it up. Romans 12 and verse 2. Romans 12 and verse 2. The Bible says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Before salvation, I don't know about you, But I thought I had the world in the palm of my hand. I thought, you know what? I'm invincible. I've got all the answers. But quickly I found out I was not invincible and I did not have all the answers. But God does. Renewing our mind. You know what? I do need him. I need him now more than ever. I need his wisdom more now than ever. I need his guidance now more than ever. I need his word now more than ever, because I can easily be deceived and led astray, even in the guise of something that looks godly. We need God's wisdom. We need the Holy Spirit. And that's why the Bible says, quench not the Holy Spirit, grieve not the Holy Spirit, because we need the Holy Spirit guiding us and leading us, and we need the word of God to dwell richly in our hearts so our minds are renewed, so our thoughts are on the Lord, our hearts are drawn to the Lord. Again, this verse says in Romans 12, 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How are you and I going to prove the perfect will of God for our life if we're not being transformed by the power of God, if we're not allowing Christ to guide us and to lead us, we're not yielding ourselves to the Holy Spirit of God, that we're not seeking God's wisdom through prayer and even following the Lord, trusting in the Lord. Again, prayer is very important. That's God's given that to us. I want you to look, last place I want you to look, 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14 through 17. Again, how am I going to stay on the straight and narrow path? How am I not going to be deceived by the world and by what the world says is right? Again, the world, in their way, says evil is good and good is evil. The world will always promote what is contrary to God. The world will always promote what's contrary to God. And the only way that we're going to know if it's contrary to God, because again, the devil's very sly. He is a liar. He's the father of lies, but he's very cunning. He's a deceiver. He knows how to word things and make it sound true. Even in the wilderness, he tempted Jesus. He came to the very Son of God. He came to Jesus Christ, tempted him with the word of God, even quoted scripture to him, but with a little twist. And Jesus knew, obviously, Jesus being the spoken word, he's the living word, he knew it was twisted. But how would we know if somebody's quoting scripture? Oh, yeah, I know that verse, but how would we know if they're taking it out of context? How would we know if they're twisting it to lead us astray? We have to be in the word. We have to be in prayer. We have to be guided by the Holy Spirit, following the Holy Spirit. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, look at verse 14 through 17. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child, and this is Paul writing to Timothy. Timothy was a young man that Paul mentored. Timothy was raised by his grandmother and mother. He had a Greek father, but apparently his father wasn't really involved in his spiritual upbringing. But Paul mentions that his grandmother and his mother raised him spiritually to follow the Lord. And that's why he even reminds Timothy here in verse 15 that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So Paul reminds Timothy, God's word is perfect. It's complete. It's exactly what you need to live the life God's given you to live. Timothy was going to be a young minister. Paul is writing his second letter to Timothy. Paul's about to die. But he wants to encourage Timothy in his faith. Keep the faith by keeping the scriptures in your heart. Stay close to God. Pray. Seek God's wisdom. Because there are false teachers, whether they're religious teachers or non-religious teachers, that will try to lead you astray from God's path, from God's truth, from God's will for your life. And the only way that we're going to know God's will is if we stay in the scriptures, if we follow the Lord. And when I say stay in the scriptures, I don't mean take scripture and twist it the way that you want it to sound and fit, but the way God wrote it, the way it's meant to be. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God's word. And God still guides us by his word, and God still warns us. Again, listen, we're in the days that there are more and more deceivers looking to draw God's people away from the truth and destroy their lives. Now, there's a myriad of things, examples I can bring up, but I'll leave that to the Holy Spirit to move upon our heart on what it is in our life that maybe we're believing that's a lie. Again, many false teachers out there that used to be good, I'll say. Seemingly good, but obviously they were wolves in sheep's clothing. Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. He does not leave his sheep out for the wolves to devour. But he did warn that the wolves would come in. They would come in as sheep in sheep's clothing to deceive, to draw away, all to devour. Again, in the days we're living, we need to purpose in our hearts to draw closer to the Lord, to rely more on the Lord for the decisions that we make in our life, and to truly trust that God will guide us according to his will. God will. We have to trust him and believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.